to Ghosts to Show You. I'm Lillian.
I'm Emily.
And we have just a fun little episode for you all today.
Just a light, loose, breezy Halloween.
Ghosty. Yeah. Well, actually, when they listen to this, will it be post-Halloween?
It will be post-Halloween, so it's not technically our Halloween episode, but you should know, listener, that it is being recorded on the eve of Hallows Eve.
On the Devil's Night, or whatever it is.
Is that what it is? Mischief
Hell's,
Night.
Hell's Night, yeah. Yes, so the spirit is with us, and also with you, and maybe this will help with your post-Halloween sadness.
Yeah, listen, you're in good company.
Yeah.
We too stan Halloween.
It happens
all
every
year,
year
round.
Happens every year, November 1st. I say, what the fuck is the point of it all?
What is the point of even going on if we don't have Halloween on the horizon?
It's such a bummer. And this year to me, I mean, obviously I've been very busy, so I haven't been able to get into the spirit as much as I normally do, which is sad and frankly tragic and should be, I don't know.
Illegal.
Yeah.
It should be illegal.
I'm going to call my school and say, take away my scholarship. I don't deserve, I can't do this anymore.
I'm going to call your congressperson and say, what are you doing about this?
This is destroying the fabric of society. In your town.
Specifically in your town, but yeah. Honestly, all over America.
It has the ripple effect, the butterfly effect of this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Emily, you're going to a Halloween part, or you're getting dressed up. You have a costume.
I do have a costume. I've spent a lot of time on my costume. It's not exactly spooky, but the movie is kind of spooky. I mean, I can say it now because it's not going to ruin anything. I am dressing up as Liesel von Roman from Death Becomes Her, and I spent a shit ton of time and money constructing a very elaborate beaded piece for the costume that came out great, but I've just been sort of, again, on November 1st, it's like, what's going to happen? Where does this go? Where do we go from here?
You know what? The likes are still going to be rolling in on the 1st.
That's true. So that'll ease the pain a bit.
Mm-hmm. And then you can always do, you know, someone else will take in a picture of you that you haven't seen. You can post that a couple days later, you know, and mm-hmm. so on and so on.
That's true. And I'm going to take those likes all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Cash them in.
Mm-hmm.
For Thanksgiving bucks or something.
I'll say, I please buy a turkey for my family? I spent all of our turkey money on beads.
Yeah, you guys know how it is. You know how it is. Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. There's a potential party, potential costume contest. I'm sort of keeping my options open, mm-hmm. loose and open mm-hmm. at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just wanted to report, just because, you know, this is related to spooky stuff and spiritual stuff. As you know, Lillian, I have recently been employing my spirit guides a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, I went to a medium, and I'm pretty sure she told me a bunch of bullshit. I'm not saying that mediums are bullshit, but this woman, I thought, was. I still think she was.
Yeah, there's a high percentage of bullshit in the medium world, so yeah.
Yeah. But she did tell me, one of the things she told me was that I have spirit guides and they can help me find parking spots. And at the time I was like, okay, lady, whatever. But recently I have been driving around, and when I can't find a spot, I'm like, all right, spirit guides, just, you know, would love if you could help me find a spot. And just so you know, if I'm exhausting this resource, please feel free to not help me out. I would rather you show up when I need you. I don't want whatever.
Yeah.
Boy who cried wolf type situation. I don't know.
Right.
But every time they've been coming through, I literally one time said, when I get back to my house, it would be great if someone is pulling out from right in front of my house as I show up. And that happened. And my husband saw it. So folks, it's real.
It's on the record.
It's on the record. And anyway, I just wanted to report on that.
There is a saint of parking spaces too. So maybe
the saint has been seen. has been stepping in, or maybe they sort of like outsource it to the saints. Is it a Christian saint?
It's Catholic for obviously.
Oh, sorry. Is it? Why is it obvious?
The Catholics have all the fucking kooky ass saints for the tiniest fucking, for finding something in your glove compartment. They're like insane.
Oh, no, yeah. I love that though. Me too. That's plus one in the Catholic column.
Yeah. I mean, the Catholics have they have it on lock besides the pedophile stuff. But other than that,
Minus one.
That's in the minus column. But the swinging of the smoking ball things,
right.
And we love the rituals.
Yeah. That stuff is fun.
Yeah. Anyways,
how are you doing, Lillian?
I'm okay. I am in school, which is fucking stupid, and no one should go to school. I will outlaw school when I'm president. Yeah, what am I doing? It's Halloween time, but it's also midterm time for me. But I'm also sort of studying ghosts.
Yeah, you're in a folklore program, which I've said it before, will bring a new level of gravitas to this program. Can you tell us about your folklore program a little bit? And
I mean, it's so new right now. I'm just doing like theory, which is the most boring part of literally anything, so I won't bore you with those sort of things, because also I barely understand them. So if anyone wants to see my flashcards, I'm happy to take some pictures and DM you. But no, it's interesting. I mean, it's cool being at a school where you can just like go and find like ancient recordings and like old pictures, and you can like get a loan from anywhere in the country. So like the kind of weird research I could do, or if anyone has a request I could do, is really awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I can just type in anything into my school. Like I could find an old, like fucking when they used to make records on like wax and like tin and stuff. And I could get that.
Wow.
You know, it's really cool. That's the fun part of all the resources. But academics are the worst people alive. And they live in a fake world. They're so dumb in so many ways. So, if someone makes you feel stupid and they're an academic, it's actually
a them problem.
Yeah. But Halloween related, I am for the first time not living in a tiny apartment for the first time in my adult life.
You have your mansion, your seaside mansion.
I have my gilded mansion in Eugene, Oregon. No, I live in a condo that was built in 1980. So it's very brown. It's very spooky. The carpet is a scream every time I see it. But that said, I have a little door and I have a little doorbell, and I have, I carved my pumpkins. So we'll see what happens. I might have trick-or-treaters, which could be so cute.
Yeah.
Never interacted with a trick-or-treater before. What's going to happen?
God, I mean, anything could happen.
Also, this is probably boring, and then we'll start talking about ghosts, but we carved pumpkins, we put them out, put the little light in it, whatever, like always. Next morning I come out and the top of my pumpkin, like the little lid or whatever, has been pushed off and is on the ground. And I was like, that is so weird, because like, what could have taken off the top of my pumpkin like that? It wasn't windy. And I was like, whatever, I forgot about it. And then I looked again like a day later, and it took off again when I put it back on the pumpkin. And I was like, okay, what the fuck is going on? And then my boyfriend was like, oh yeah, the squirrels have been coming up to the pumpkin, taking off the lid, and they're chewing and clawing. And then I looked and my pumpkin has been gnawed on. By all of these fat ass squirrels.
Critters, yeah.
All these critters. I was like, I've never heard this happening in my life. In New York, do the rats come and eat your pumpkin? Like, what is...
No, they're too busy feasting.
They've got other shit. Yeah, that's true. They have other food.
Garbage.
They have so much. They have the best food scene in America. Why would they have a pumpkin? But... yeah, it's somehow distressing to me that my pumpkin is being like slowly defaced by these wild animals that I have no control over.
You could put poison on the pumpkin. I'm not recommending you do that. I'm just saying maybe a sort of fuck you to the squirrels.
the homeowners association would have a field day.
And then you put the little squirrels on tiny spikes all around the pumpkin as sort of a message.
Uh-huh. See what happens. Fuck around and find out.
Exactly.
No, it's fine. Maybe the children will be so horrified by my like disfigured fucking grotesque pumpkin, they won't even come and ask for candy. Aww. But I do have to go get candy at the grocery store today and maybe sadly wait by the door all night for...
It's not sad. I think it's cute. I've been debating on... Because I would like to give candy to trick-or-treaters. I bought 3 bags of candy. It's all ready in a little thing. And my front is all decorated of my apartment. But I'm like, just logistically... Yeah. I live on the 2nd floor. It's going to be a lot if I have to keep running up and down the stairs. But I don't want to sit in the hallway and just hope that trick-or-treaters come.
Yeah. So, the door. I mean, you could always leave a bowl of candy, but we all know that it is gone in like 2 seconds. So
I know some fucking 40-year-old man is going to come dump it into his fanny pack or whatever.
That's like such a dumbass Brooklyn thing that is true.
Yeah. I mean, I might end up doing that, but I also feel like, just, I don't know, maybe it's more for me than the kids, but I feel like the kids would appreciate if, you know,
to see your tits,
to see, obviously to see my tits. No, I'm not going to wear my costume to answer the door. That is a given. It's not for children.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, maybe it's fun to like buzz, and maybe if I get a scary mask or something, I can be like, ooh, here's the correct amount of candy for you, whatever.
Yeah. Well, let's check in with each other, and we have to update our listeners on this Obviously. Very exciting and interesting situation.
Yeah, so, which is still developing, situation.
We'll do a live stream for 10 hours on Halloween.
Yeah, I'm gonna live stream from my ring light or whatever it's called, the ring doorbell, which I don't have, but I could get. Probably.
I'm going to do some TikToks of me answering the door. Or whatever the
I'm going to do some popular TikTok dances as I answer the door. What's up, fellow kids?
Can I just say that in academia, people are speaking about TikTok on like panels, and it's like, it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh, I have multiple professors who are like, just, hey, let's talk about TikTok. I'm like, I want to pretend TikTok does not exist, not because I don't think it's a valid and interesting phenomenon, but it melts my brain in a way that no other social media does, and I can't engage with it. Therefore, it doesn't exist to me. So,
but also to hear an academic adult sort of dissect TikTok in an anthropological way when it still is relevant is sort of, I don't know. Not for me.
Well, it's these people. I can't even get into it. I cannot even get into it. It's disgusting.
We're going to need you to wear a wire next time.
Oh, believe me. The things I want. I've had multiple people request audio of my classes because they're like, I don't believe you. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's happening. This shit's happening. Anyways. Okay.
Great. So it's loosey-goosey today. Our tits are out. Our hair is blowing in the wind as we glide by on our brooms.
Yes.
It's am I painting best. A cohesive picture?
Yes.
So our topic today is it's manyfold.
Yes.
It's A, ripped from the headlines, and then B, I looked up a bunch of fun folklore from different cultures to surprise Lillian. Sort of a gotcha folklore.
Look, I can do this
bit.
Too. It's not just you.
I'm basically in grad school for folklore now too.
I'll send you my PDFs.
Let's talk from the ripped from the headlines, whichever ones you were particularly drawn to, because I threw a bunch in there.
I know. Bless you for doing this research when I... You know, you're carrying me in the sand, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So this one has been covered by all of, first of all any kind of ghost, quote unquote ghost news, always on the most ridiculous sites, which makes it always entertaining because it's for the foolish, for the ignorant. and for the wicked, people love this shit. This piece is actually in the Observer, or I mean the Guardian or whatever the fuck, about a, it says, Figures of Babylon, oldest drawing of a ghost found in British Museum vault. So a 3,500-year-old image of a, quote, miserable male ghost gives up its secret by Dahlia Albridge. Written in the most British way possible, this entire piece. It is very interesting. The world authority of this type of thing, his name is Irving Finkel, and he is wearing a blazer, and he's talking about this piece that they recently uncovered. You know, I guess I never really thought of ghosts being represented in this way. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Same. Which is why it was so interesting. But then I thought, like, of course, you know, because, and as I'll touch on later when I go through all of these different cultural, spiritual folklores, whatever, you know, ghosts are like a manifestation of people's anxieties and fears. And obviously the way they look at them sort of reflects, I don't know, like what's going on in the zeitgeist. I don't know if that's exactly correct. Sure. But so this ghost that was drawn on this old tablet is a quote unquote miserable male spirit because he's lonely and he does not have a wife.
Right. They say the way to get rid of a ghost is how you would appease that person in their life. If I got that correct. So like, because they were like, oh, he, maybe they were saying, oh, in life, the way to get rid of Uncle George was to just get him married,
marry him
a
off.
New wife. And so in this, to get rid of the ghost of this man, they're giving him, he's attached to a woman. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like symbolically saying, okay, here's what you need, you fucking perv, you know?
Yeah.
Which
sort
is interesting.
Sort of the original incel, yep. Perhaps.
Exactly. Ghost cell happens all the time. Yeah. So in Babylon, I guess that's how they did shit, you know? Mm-hmm. But I thought that was interesting. And even though this guy, Irving Finkel, looks like an absolute nightmare to talk to, really knows
your,
his shit.
Your new professor, Finkel. This is a professor reveal live on camera for Lillian.
Dr. Finkel. And
Dr. Finkel
will
is
be co-publishing
a few papers.
Yes.
Lecturing at your school.
Oh my God. No. He's a curator of the Middle Eastern Department at the British Museum, so a horrible person probably. Anyways,
yeah, yeah.
So I
a lot of stolen artifacts, I'm
yeah.
sure.
But in this case, we like it. So I give that 4 ghosts. Just kidding. We're not doing a rating system.
I like the ghost rating system. We're not going to tell you 4 out of what.
Nope. Who knows? That's up to us.
That's up to us.
Just for us. Okay, great. A couple of other ones that we can briefly talk about is, of course, from the New York Post, my favorite periodical, about the Playboy Mansion being haunted. The first sentence says, "This bunny's got a tail." Thank you. Thank you, New York Post. This
they
is
always
why I
come
read
through.
The New York Post.
Yep.
This is why I read the New York Post. Anyways, it's basically about a bunny who was living at the mansion, which I can't even imagine the vibes in that place. Anyways, the story is that she saw a woman out of the corner of her, enter the room, and then when she looked back, she wasn't there. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure there was a woman in the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, they're
I'm pretty sure that happened. I believe you.
And by the way, this is a woman who was on, I don't know if you ever watched that show.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Is it like Holly or something? Like,
no, it's Bridget. So Bridget, okay. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. There was a show.
Girls Next Door.
She was on that show. She was one of Hef's girlfriends. Holly was like the actual really hot, like main girlfriend. And Bridget was like a rejected Playboy bunny.
Yeah.
Who tested and did not get Playboy bunny, but he was like, yeah, you can stay here. But yes, I mean, obviously the Playboy Mansion is fucking haunted. I cannot imagine the depraved things that have gone down there. But
do you think somebody has died there, but we just never heard about it.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of think so too.
That's not based on anything except that I'm like, so Hugh Hefner has basically been hosting parties for disgusting men who come and like slobber all over women, and he's rich and famous and protected. So it seems likely that something...
like somebody must have like OD'd and then they like snuck them out the back or something.
Yeah.
All right. Or drowned in the pool, et cetera. Okay.
Something.
Anyways, just a theory.
I would guess. She thinks it was a secretary who she said was really
nice. Because she's brunette. It's like, okay. Yeah, she had a real job. Okay. Just kidding. No shame to the Playboy bunnies. I think they're fantastic. Okay. And maybe the last thing from the rip from the headlines is the Kesha... So yes. Kesha has been dabbling in the dark arts for some time, and I don't mean her latest music. I was really trying to make like a late night joke there, but I'm too tired. There have been stories in the past that she's had sex with a ghost. I feel like I heard that years ago.
Yeah.
The thing is with Kesha, we know she has been through some shit, and I do genuinely feel for her because it sounds like she really got fucked over and had some trauma. But anyways, the real takeaway from this, she's into the supernatural. I guess she has a podcast about the supernatural, and she's, I guess there's a show coming out.
Conjuring Kesha.
So, Emily, what I say to you is, we're fucked. Basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, that thought crossed my mind. So multiple people sent me this story because they're like, "Oh, look, she's doing what you do," and you know, she's just going to do another version of any one of those ghost shows where people walk around and then they go ape shit over a picture of an orb or like a creek. It's not gonna be good. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I mean, I'm kidding a little bit when I say we're fucked, but
no, I know.
I mean, laughing that I was like, what's happening with Kesha? I mean, genuinely, this is worrying to me that Kesha has a ghost hunting show. Like, this is not sitting right with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I think, is Kesha getting the help she needs? Kesha shouldn't be entering into other realms before she's healed herself.
That's actually true, because like, she's more vulnerable to psychic warfare. I don't know what the correct term for that would be.
Let's say that.
She can feel free to reach out to us if she wants to sort of talk about this and maybe take a step back.
Kesha, for your own safety, I'm giving you a warning right now. Just kidding.
We
this is a Mesha. This is a Mesha to Kesha. Oh boy. Anyways, but you know what? Good luck on your journey wherever it leads you.
It may take you. I do, you know, pray for her safety every day. And
brushing my teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Right, that's right. I hope she's not doing that anymore, because it's simply not good for your teeth.
No.
Yeah, I think what's the word? Playing field is big enough for, I think the lane, the highway? I don't know. I think we can both exist here.
That's what everyone was saying about women in comedy in like 2011. And you know what? They were wrong.
And they were wrong. And there's only one woman in comedy, and that is...
Kathy Griffin.
That's right. That she's the only one. Beloved comedian Kathy Griffin.
To me, she's the only one. All right. Okay. Let's pivot into something that's not sensationalist.
So yes, I looked up a bunch of different folklore.
How do you define folklore? I'm just kidding.
Lillian.
This is
all... The philosopher, I don't know. Just different legends from different places all around the world. So some fun stuff. All right. So let's close our eyes and take a little trip over to South America not South America. I'm sorry. We're starting in East Africa. Okay. There's The night demon of Tanzania is called Popobawa. Hmm. And so Tanzania, as I mentioned, it's like it borders Kenya. I think it's south of Kenya. And there's a little island off of it. And they believe in this thing called the Popobawa, which literally translates to bat wing. But it's a shapeshifter that can be almost anything. Apparently, it sexually assaults men and sometimes other people. So believers say the creature is a djinn released by a sheikh seeking vengeance. And we discussed djinns actually with our friend Kareem on a different podcast episode, if you want to go back and listen to that. It's sort of like what a genie is based on, but it's, and it's not necessarily malevolent, although this creature is malevolent. So one really interesting thing about this creature is that there have been multiple Popobawa panics, specifically in Zanzibar, the island where this originated. So in 1995, a visitor from the mainland was killed by a mob because they believed he was a Popobawa, because it's this tiny island and he's an outsider and he showed up, and people were legitimately so scared. And there have been multiple Popobawa panics over the years. And people were legitimately so scared of that, that they saw this outsider, and one person was like, I saw him, he's the Popobawa, and they killed him in 1995.
That's interesting. I'm sure it coincided with, you know, some other cultural anxieties that were going on at the time.
It did. Specifically, the assassination of their president. And then in 1995, there was a an election, I guess, after that assassination. So that's what people think. Is related to that.
That makes sense. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Japan has a couple. There is the girl in the bathroom.
It's like our Bloody Mary or something.
Yes. There, I think this one is the one that is sort of like a Bloody Mary. Yes. Her name is Hanako-san. And also, she has since been, this character is like so well known in Japan that she's in like manga and anime. So she was allegedly this little girl that was killed during World War II when her school was bombed. She was killed in the bathroom. So if you go to the third floor and go to the third stall in the girl's bathroom and you knock three times and call her name, she shows up, and she apparently maybe will drag you to hell through the toilet.
Wow. Now, is this a specific building, or it's just the third floor of any building?
Any school.
Any school.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't realize, we actually were talking about Bloody Mary in class, which, you know, again, it sounds so ridiculous that this is what I'm studying. Like, I'm like, I'll get a degree in like knowing about Bloody Mary, but whatever. But I didn't realize, I guess, or I just never really thought about it, that it is pretty much exclusively a teen girl thing. And I just didn't think about it because obviously I did it. I don't know if you did it when you were a kid, like a slumber party.
No,
or,
I didn't do it. I was too scared.
But at least like, were you in the presence where they're like, let's do a seance or Bloody Mary?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, that kind of stuff. Yes. Spooky stuff like that. And, you know, obviously you can kind of, you might be able to parse why teen girls would be, you know, have these anxieties about blood and, you know, scare themselves and like all these things that they're afraid of as they're, you know, becoming women. But no, going through puberty. But anyways, that's really interesting that there's a Japanese sort of parallel there.
Huh, totally. There's a few, I think, things like that. There's definitely some common themes in all of these, and which is why, you know, I don't think it's silly that you're learning about Bloody Mary, because it really does reflect a cultural, like cultural fears and anxieties, you know? So obviously it's really, it helps us understand our culture, which I know, you know, which is part of why it's so cool. And again, this originated around World War II when we're bombing Japan. Okay. Now we're hopping down to the warm South American beaches. No. Anyway, we're going to Brazil. That's where we are.
Nice. Okay.
So there's a woman.
Brazil.
La Pisadera, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, a tall, skinny woman with long yellow fingernails and red eyes creeps along the rooftops and watches families inside of their homes. She watches them as they eat dinner, and then she waits for the family to go to bed. And if someone goes to bed with a full stomach and lays on their back, she sits on their chest so they can't move. And then these people are stuck in a state between sleep and being awake. And basically, I mean, this one is very clearly to me a manifestation of what, like night terrors, or
that's yeah, night
sleep
terrors
paralysis,
are big.
Rather.
Sleep paralysis is a worldwide phenomenon that gets explained in a lot of these, mm-hmm. these stories, which is so interesting. Thank God I've never had it, but I can only imagine it feels absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I thank God that I have never had it either. But my husband, Jamie, he used to have that happen to him. And one time he woke me up in the middle of the night, or he like woke up with a start or something. And I woke up and I was like, are you okay? And he was like, and he pointed to the other end of the room and he was like, there was a hooded figure right over there pointing at us. And which is fucking terrifying to hear in the middle of the night. yeah, but he used to experience that. I think he would mostly see people like someone pointing, like a hooded scary figure, like pointing. As we know, a lot of people have experienced what seems like a woman sitting on their chest or a figure sitting on their chest.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder, and I might be reading too into this, if
you
it has anything.
That's the best thing. You can't read too much into it as I'm learning in school.
Right. Well, no, you're probably right. But like food insecurity, you know, I don't know. This is a person who has a full stomach and has just eaten. And maybe there's some sort of tie into that.
Yeah. No, I totally think that. I don't know the background or history or when this, you know, was happening. But yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the shit I've read, you can never go too far. But but yeah, no, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. I hope that never happens to me.
God, I hope not either. I don't know what you're supposed to do in that case. If anybody has dealt with this and has any tips or tricks.
I mean, it's not like, because like, you mean like how you're not supposed to wake a sleepwalker or whatever? Like when someone's sleepwalking?
No, I don't know. Like I wonder if there's something that people who experience sleep paralysis do, like a way to anchor themselves or a way to like get out of it or something. I have no idea.
Huh, yeah.
So.
Well, listeners, let us know.
Any sleep paralysis hacks that you might have, send them our way.
I'll check BuzzFeed first, which I did have to, I looked at for one of these pieces and I was like, I forget about BuzzFeed. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have a finale one?
I have five more, but I don't have to hit all of them. They're not all that good. Okay, La Llorona is a famous one from Mexico.
Sure. Yep.
She's a woman who killed her two children after, her husband cheated on her, and then she killed her two children by drowning them, and then she immediately regretted it, and she drowned herself, but then heaven was like, no, you can't come in until you find your children, and then I guess maybe you can get in. So the legend is that she wanders the earth, and she... In some stories, she tries to kidnap children because she's like searching for her own children. And then in some stories, she's punishing men who are unfaithful.
This is like that, the shitty version, that Blythe Manor show. That's like 100% ripped, I feel like, from this. Anyways.
Yeah, they rip from, I think, a lot of things. That one was ripped also from The Turning of the Screw.
Yes,
heavily.
But the wet, the woman, the dripping, you know, she was like trying to grab the kid, you know, anyway.
That's right. And La Llorona is seen hovering over water oftentimes and like dragging children into water.
The Lady of the Lake or whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Right. So, that's a fun one. I love that she attacks cheating husbands.
Mm-hmm. As she should.
That's real girl boss shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Malaysia, toyols, tiny green-skinned goblins with glowing red eyes, they're dead fetuses or stillborn babies that are reanimated by black magic. They do their master's bidding, which, by the way, made me think of The Brood. I don't know.
Yeah.
That movie. Great movie. And it may have originated in pre-Islamic Mecca, where infanticide was common and newborns were sometimes buried alive.
Mm-hmm. Fuck. Yeah.
So... That's yeah, a scary one.
I'm sure
one.
That one has a lot of history behind it. You want to investigate that one.
Mm-hmm. There's a few of that sort of tie into that tablet. Like in Romania, there's the Strigoi, who are the ghosts of people who lived or died under unhappy circumstances, including suicides, the illegitimate, quote unquote, the unbaptized and contentedly single people, aka the unmarried.
What the hell?
Yep. So sorry, guys, you can't just live your happy single life because you're going to come back as some weird, I don't know. Oh, it's like a vampire. They live on human blood.
That sounds cool, though.
It does sound kind of cool.
I feel like I would, if I could, I think I would like being a vampire, but whatever.
Well, move to Romania. Don't get married.
No fucking thank you. The only reason I would go to Romania is if I got married to somebody there, like a count or something.
Mm.
So.
And then you wouldn't come back as a Strigoi.
Right.
Fuck. Apparently, okay. Burying a body with a bottle of whiskey is said to prevent a loved one from returning as a Strigoi.
What are these, Doors fans? All right.
Okay. I'll do two more. Okay. There's another Japanese one, the Kuchisake Onna, the slit-mouthed woman. I love her because she's mm-hmm. a beautiful woman. She wears a surgical mask, so, okay, mm-hmm. topical.
Mm-hmm.
She approaches victims at remote train or bus stations at night and asks, "Am I beautiful?" And if they say yes, she removes the mask, revealing a gaping, Joker-like, bloody smile. And if the victim says no, she pulls out a butcher's knife and slices the victim's face like her own because her mouth is slit.
Oh, my God. She gives him a what is it called? A Glasgow smile?
Smile, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When is that from?
They say it may have originated in feudal Japan as a cautionary tale about infidelity because there was some tale about this Japanese guy who had a lover or something who cheated on him and he did that to her.
Got it. So then obviously there's been some, I believe, dynamic variation through mm-hmm. the years, mm-hmm. changing the story. That's cool.
Yeah, I love that it's a real damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Isn't it always?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, the last one that I'll tell you, I don't know if this is a great finale, but there's a Nordic spirit called the Gengangar, and they kill via pinch. So they pinch you. And this one is kind of tough because I think I've met a few of these because they just look like people. They're not, there's no necessarily identifying features. They look like people, uh-huh. but they pinch you usually at night, and the pinched skin will turn blue and cause a wasting disease, which will eventually travel to the victim's heart. And it says likely Viking in origin and may have had to do with fears of the plague.
Yeah. Or the cold or something. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So,
wow.
There's a handful.
I like those. Those are all interesting. Thanks yeah. for distracting me from the boring parts of folklore to the fun parts of folklore.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to write a book on all of these.
Ooh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Ding.
Ding. For listeners cool. at home, Lillian's teeth just glinted in the light as she mm-hmm. winked at
yep.
me.
Yep. My fangs were... Mm-hmm. glinting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, thanks, Emily.
Yeah, you're welcome. So just some fun folklore for you listeners.
Wait, last thing, sorry, this article is still up on my I was gonna say my dashboard. Literally my brain is mush. Did we all know that Kesha calls herself a spectrosexual? Or
oh, I forgot. No, there's yeah. no way we all knew that.
Well, now we all do. So I'm obsessed hell, with that. Kesha. And I am also identifying as that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to make a joke that I won't. Okay. all right. Well, this was fun. Yeah. And I hope everyone listened to our Lizzie Borden episodes because they're so good. I love them so much. We had mm-hmm. so much fun. Emily worked very hard on editing them.
We both worked very hard and we have more fun investigations coming at you.
We have a lot. We really like before I moved, we were like,
we were very active.
I was like, I felt like my entire, the last like 6 months or something, we were like always going somewhere.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was just like, we had a lot done. I know. I miss it. I miss that. And I miss thrift stores. So
it'll happen again.
I'll come back to the East Coast soon enough. But, but yeah, we've got a lot of good ones. We had a lot of fun. Had a lot of spooky times.
Yeah. And we're excited for you to hear them.
I guess review, rate, and subscribe, and tell your friends, tell your ghosts in your house about it and see what they think. I would love to hear what their side of the story.
Yeah, we would love to hear their feedback. We try to get all sides of the story. There's good people on both sides of the veil.
So true. All right. Well, I'm going to go to the grocery store on a Saturday, which is my worst nightmare.
I'll tell you that
tale of terror later. I've never seen a suburban supermarket on a Saturday. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. Anyways, thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Yes, thank you. And we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Ghosts to Show You is created and written by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. Production, editing, and sound design is by me. Our artwork is by Paco Park, and our original theme song is by LP. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, and follow us on Instagram at Ghosts to Show You. Thanks for listening. See you next time.